Today's reading begins in Acts chapter 22, verse 30. Acts 22, verse 30. But on the next day, desiring to know the real reason why he was being accused by the Jews, he unbound him and commanded the chief priests and all the council to meet. And he brought Paul down and set him before them. And looking intently at the council, Paul said, Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Are you sitting to judge me according to the law, and yet contrary to the law you order me to be struck? Those who stood by said, Would you revile God's high priest? And Paul said, I did not know, brothers, that he was the high priest, for it is written, You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Now when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial. And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. Then a great clamor arose, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees' party stood up and contended sharply, We find nothing wrong in this man. What if a spirit or an angel spoke to him? And when the dissension became violent, the tribune, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him away from among them by force and bring him to the barracks. The following night the Lord stood by him and said, Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. When it was day, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who made this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, We have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food till we have killed Paul. Now therefore you, along with the council, give notice to the tribune to bring him down to you, as though you were going to determine this case more exactly, and we are ready to kill him before he comes near. Now the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush, so he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions and said, Take this young man to the tribune, for he has something to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the tribune and said, Paul the prisoner called me and asked me to bring this young man to you, as he has something to say to you. The tribune took him by the hand, and going aside asked him privately, What is it that you have to tell me? And he said, The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire somewhat more closely about him. But do not be persuaded by them, for more than 40 of their men are lying in ambush for him, who have bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink till they have killed him. Now they are ready, waiting for your consent. So the tribune dismissed the young man, charging him, Tell no one that you have informed me of these things. Then he called two of the centurions and said, Get ready 200 soldiers with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go as far as Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Also provide mounts for Paul to ride and bring him safely to Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter to this effect, Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency the Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them when I came upon them with the soldiers and rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman citizen. And desiring to know the charge for which they were accusing him, I brought him down to their council. I found that he was being accused about questions of their law, but charged with nothing deserving death nor imprisonment. And when it was disclosed to me that there would be a plot against the man, I sent him to you at once, ordering his accusers also to state before you what they have against him. So the soldiers, according to their instruction, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris, and on the next day they returned to the barracks, letting the horsemen go on with him. And when they had come to Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor, they presented Paul also before him. On reading the letter, he asked what province he was from, and when he learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will give you a hearing when your accusers arrive. And he commanded him to be guarded in Herod's praetorium. So where we had left off in our last reading, Paul had agreed to go through a purification ritual and a vow with some other men. He was in the temple. Others accused him of bringing Gentiles into the temple, and this created an uproar. And so that's where we're picking up today. And having been rescued by the soldiers, the centurion wants to know what's going on. He wants to know why there is this uproar. He wants to know why everybody is getting into such a frenzy. So he puts him before this council in order to determine this. But it's very quickly clear that they are not going to have any sort of a fair hearing. Simply saying that he had lived in all good conscience before God caused the high priest to have him struck. Well, with all of this going on, Paul perceives that there are Sadducees and Pharisees, and that they have very different beliefs concerning the spirit, the resurrection, these types of things. And so he uses that to his advantage, and he gets them arguing with one another instead of dealing with him. And so he's brought back to the barracks, and the Lord tells Paul to take courage, for he's going to testify in Rome. After this, there is a plot that comes forward with the Jews concerning killing Paul. But Paul's nephew learns of this and comes and tells Paul, and then Paul sends him to the centurion, whom he informs as well. So the centurion devises a plan and sends Paul to Felix, the governor. Now there were 40 Jews that were plotting to kill Paul, and so this centurion gets 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen, which seems a bit overkill, but he was making sure that he was not going to lose, Paul, a Roman citizen, during this time. So he sends him to Felix along with this letter stating what has happened. And Felix puts him in Herod's Praetorium, and he plans to listen. He plans to hear what Paul has to say after the Jews arrive. Felix was governor over Judea from AD 52 to AD 60. So that gives us a time frame for all of this. It also mentions that Ananias was the high priest at this time, and he was high priest from 47 to 58. So that narrows it down to somewhere between 52 and 58. If you're interested in dates, that's a little bit interesting to me. But think about the fact that Paul always seems to garner the most hatred from the Jews. And this is not just about his teaching. I think it's because he was one of them. He was persecuting the church and then he was converted. I think that's at least one of the reasons why they seem to hate him so much by this point. They don't just want to stop his teaching, but they want to kill him. Well, that concludes our reading for today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.